Has there ever been a situation or a circumstance in your life where there was a need, and it wasn't really anything that you went and asked somebody to help you with, but maybe along that path there was somebody who saw that need and they stepped up and met it without you even having to ask for it? And man, that was probably, if you're like me, that was a real blessing to you when somebody took care of that. It was just one more thing you didn't have to worry about, or something that you didn't have to do. Now, notice what I said. I said a need that you had, not necessarily a want, but it was a circumstance or a situation that there was a need. Somebody fulfilled it, maybe never even said anything to you about it, but they just stepped in and did that without even being asked. Man, that's a true blessing. And that's something that we need to keep our eyes focused upon as well, to look for the opportunities that are around us. Today, we're going to continue a look in God's Word at the miracles of our Master, or I like to call it the miracles of the Messiah. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew chapter 8, where Peter's mother-in-law is healed. So grab your Bible, turn it over to Matthew chapter 8. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Thank you for taking this time to join us today as we gather around God's Word. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over there with me. And we're going to be looking at the situation where Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And there are a couple of things that we can take out of this passage that we can draw from to strengthen ourselves and to strengthen our walk as we go forward each and every day. And there are a couple of things that we'll look for, but let's just go ahead and look at the scripture. We're just going to deal with two verses today. It's actually Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, and it reads like this. It says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today for this time and these moments that we will have together to spend around your word. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that, Lord, as your word sinks into every ounce of our being, that, Lord, we may learn from it, that we might draw closer to you, and that our walk with you each and every day may be closer and closer than it's ever been before. Help us, Lord, to understand your scripture today and apply it to our lives in a special way as we serve you each and every day as we go out into the highways and hedges that we call the mission field. So, Father, I just ask that as your speaker for these moments that you would truly be exalted and lifted up. Lord, I am nothing and no one without you. So right now, I pray, Father, that you would speak through me as your messenger. And Lord, may we all be changed because we've been in your presence and around your word. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at these particular verses, there are several different things that we can take away from this particular passage that that will help us along the way in our daily walk. And there's this one big, huge word that I like to use all the time. And it's called compassion, because what happens is compassion is that quality within us that if we have it and or exercise it, compassion is something that brings about action. And in this particular passage, even though it's only two verses, we see this divine compassion in action. You see, Jesus noticed and responded to a need. Now, as he walked in there, you know, we never see anything about Peter saying, well, hey, guys, you know, maybe you better cancel coming by the house today because my mother-in-law is not feeling well. Peter also knew that because he had been around Jesus, that Jesus had the power to be able to heal her. But you'll notice what did not happen in this passage. You know, as Jesus went in, Peter didn't say, hey, look, Jesus, come here a minute. My mother-in-law's sick. Is there any way you could go over there and maybe, you know, heal her, just give her a touch of your hand or whatever? He never asked. Now, I'm not saying that Peter maybe would not have done that given time and a little bit later. But one of the things that we notice, first of all, is that Jesus noticed a need. There was something that, folks, you will never rise to the challenge to meet a need unless you first understand that there is a need there. Now, there are often times in our world today that we will actually see a need, but yet we don't have the compassion that moves us to action in such a way that we will fulfill that need. So I think that's something that's very interesting as we read this passage, Jesus noticed a need, and not only did he notice it, he responded to it. Okay? You know, in the hustle of life, you know, Jesus was attentive to individual needs. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, you know, we don't know what kind of sickness she had. She had a fever. Maybe it was the flu, whatever we might be able to compare it to in our modern day time. But the bottom line was, it was something that she wasn't feeling well. It was a fever. And by the way, back in that days, a fever could be very, very detrimental. You couldn't go get aspirin or Tylenol or Motrin or any of those sort of things because they didn't exist. So a fever could be very detrimental. But nonetheless, you know, even in the midst of everything that was going on, Jesus was attentive enough that he saw a need. Now, if you think about all the things that you see Jesus deal with throughout, you know, his walk, his journey, and through the New Testament, you would sit back and say, well, this is probably one of the very least of the things that he should notice or would notice and be attentive to. Now, we could take some serious lessons from Jesus in this regard, that we need to just kind of, you know, slow down a little bit in life. Notice what I said a moment ago. I said, in the hustle of life, Jesus was attentive to an individual need that he saw in his presence. Sometimes we need to stop and slow down and pay attention to what's going on around us. There are needs that are around us everywhere. Now, I had one guy tell me one time, he said, well, that's part of the reason that I go so fast. He says, it's not that I'm unaware of the needs, it's just I don't have time to deal with them. I don't have time to take with that, you know, with these people or these situations or whatever it may be, to be able to put forth that effort. One of the things that's very interesting is that Jesus always took the time to meet those individual needs that he saw, and he is aware of everything that is going on in your heart and my heart and in the hearts and lives of everybody in this world. Now, it's interesting that as we continue to consider this passage, his actions are driven by compassion for somebody who is suffering. Notice what I said. I said his actions are driven. Listen, there are times in our lives where we will actually see a need, but we will turn a deaf ear, or we will look the other way, or we will just keep on going. And we'll try to justify that by saying, well, I'm busy, or I've got to be here, or I've got to be there. But, you know, Jesus allows us to see the needs that are going on in people's hearts and lives and their situations all around us. But the thing about it is, when we see them, is it something that is going to move us to action? Well, the thing that moves us to action is that big word we were talking about as we started our Bible study. It's called compassion. Do you have compassion on someone else? Do you have that compassion that when you see a need, or if you see somebody suffering along the way, to be able to try to do what you can to alleviate whatever suffering it is that they may have? You know, do we do that, or do we just kind of, you know, put the pedal to the metal and just go on past them and say, well, in 5 minutes I will have forgotten about what's taking place? Folks, I believe that that's not paying attention to what the Holy Spirit's putting on our hearts and putting in our paths to give us an opportunity to be representatives for him. You see, Jesus is the one who initiated the healing in our passage today without being asked explicitly to do so. Yeah, I don't know, for whatever reason it was. Maybe Peter thought, well, this is just a little thing for Jesus, and it's not worth asking. You know, maybe he thought, well, I don't want to be that guy who goes over there and says, oh, well, by the way, you know, how about taking care of my mother-in-law? Whatever the circumstance or situation was, Peter never asked Jesus. Jesus was the one himself who initiated the healing of Peter's mother-in-law without anybody saying a word to him. Why did he do that? Because he saw that there was a need, and he reached out and met that need. You see, Jesus' immediate recognition and response to Peter's mother-in-law's condition shows his compassion and his willingness to intervene. You know, Jesus does have compassion. Now, it's so interesting that through life, what is it that we always say? You know, we say we're Christians. What does a Christian mean? How do you define Christian? Well, the definition of Christian means to be Christ-like. If Jesus is one of those who is going to be paying attention to what is around him, and Jesus is one who sees needs that need to be met, and we are going to be Christ-like, then we need to be paying attention to what's going on around us. And then it goes a step further, because not only is it about identifying what those needs are, it is about having enough compassion to move us to action to do something about it. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that I've seen people in my life who they have seen the need. They knew there was a need there. They knew that there was even something that they could do, but yet by the same token, their own schedule kept them from being used in the hands of the Father. Their lack of compassion caused them not to be moved to action to do something. So just remember this, Jesus' immediate recognition and response to Peter's mother-in-law's condition showed that he had compassion for her, and not only that he had compassion for her, but he had a willingness to intervene in her situation. Now, you and I could take that and apply that to our lives. You know, you and I are encouraged to be observant and responsive to the needs of others, emulating Jesus' compassionate nature. It's so ironic that when we think about this particular situation, particularly with Peter and Jesus' willingness to be able to be a part of seeing something great happen, you know, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we see that in our own lives? Can we identify the fact that we're tracking with what the Lord has for us, that we're actually seeing what's going on around us? And then in seeing what's going on around us, do we have enough compassion in our hearts to be moved to do something about it? You know, be observant. I can still remember that one of the big things that over time, you know, particularly over the last 30 years, that I have tried to instill within our deacons. Now, I believe this with all my heart. You know, deacons within a church are a servant body. They're not to be a board of directors. They're not to necessarily handle the business of the church, but they're a ministry body. And, you know, if your church may be like our church, there have been times when we had the deacon family ministry where there are certain, or all the families in our church, you know, have a deacon to kind of, you know, look along the way to look after them. Well, for me, the bottom line was simply not to just go and say, is there anything I can do for you? You know, there's nothing wrong with that, folks, but I can't tell you the number of times in my life that I've gone and said, hey, look, is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way that I can help? And most people will say no, you know, and you'll sit back and say, if there's anything I can do, let me know. Now, I've always encouraged our deacons to pay attention to what's going on around them, to look at needs that can be met. Let me give you a small example of that. You know, if you've got a lady whose husband is in the hospital, and he's, you know, been in the hospital for a while, is going to be in the hospital for a while, and maybe this deacon goes by to pay a visit to that household, and he's about wading through grass up to his waist to be able to get to the door. Well, you know what? You don't have to ask that lady, hey, is it all right if I mow your grass? Is there any way I can help you? I know your husband's in the hospital. I know that he's not able to do that right now. Listen, you don't have to ask that question. You already know that the grass needs to be mowed. You know, what you do at that particular point is, after your visit, then what you can do, and I'm not saying you have to do all this yourself. There are people around you who love to be able to serve. I've said that to our deacons as well. I'm like, you don't have to take that responsibility on for yourself, but let us know so that we can meet that need that's taking place, that we can have compassion upon, in my example, the case of this lady who's not able to get this done. So you don't have to ask. Just show up there with the lawnmower and mow the grass. Don't say a word. Just take care of the need. Meet the need that you see in somebody's life that's around you. Have enough compassion to do that. I always like to say it like this. I think it's great when we are more proactive to take care of needs than reactive. You know, it's better when we see the need and identify it ourselves, the same way that Jesus did in these particular passages. You know, they didn't have a discussion about Peter's mother-in-law. Peter didn't give the lowdown on the fact that she was sick and had a fever. Jesus knew this. He saw that need. He identified with it. He had compassion and he met it. We can do those same things. When we see even things that seem like they are so minor, I can't tell you the number of times in my ministry that maybe somebody, and I've used that illustration of just mowing somebody's grass. And then somebody says, you don't know what a blessing that was to me. When I came home from work and the grass was mowed, I had no idea how it got mowed. But I tell you, that had been a big burden on my heart because I didn't know how I was going to get that taken care of. And boy, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing of God that was, that it was something that I no longer had to worry about. Somebody had compassion on me and took care of the need that they saw. They responded to the need that they visibly saw, not one that somebody pointed out to them. So I say all that to simply say this: when you see those needs, how about letting us become more proactive instead of being so much reactive? You know, obviously we will react when we know, when somebody comes and says, hey, this is what's taking place or what's going on. Or when you say to somebody, what can I do to help you? And they tell you, that's being reactive. But being proactive is when you see the grass needs mowed and you go ahead and do it without even being asked to do so. That is showing compassion. Another thing I want us to see out of our two passages that we're looking at today is the healing touch of Jesus. Now down there in Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, the very first part of it says, so he touched her hand and the fever left her. You see, Jesus' touch brought instant healing, okay? A simple touch from Jesus carries profound healing power. And it also shows us something else. You see, the fever left upon Jesus' touch because of the fact that he has authority over even illness. Now, we need to keep those things in mind, because so many times, you know, we might go to the Lord on behalf of somebody else. We call that intercessory prayer, and we may be lifting prayers for somebody else, but do we really believe as we're praying that the Lord has the power to do what we're asking him to do? I pray that you are praying toward that end. Obviously, yes, even a fever, if Jesus says it's time for you to be gone, it goes, all right? The fever left upon Jesus' touch, and that shows the authority that he has, even over things that we know absolutely nothing about. And then once he did that, there was immediate restoration. The healing was something that was instantaneous. It was complete. It wasn't like when you and I go to the doctor and they say, well, I'm going to give you an antibiotic, or I'm going to give you a shot, or I'm going to give you a Z-pack, and you know, you still feel horrible, you know, for maybe the rest of that night, and maybe you start feeling a little bit better the next day, and it usually takes several days for you to get back on your feet if you have been given the right medication to take care of you. But that's not what happened in this case. When Jesus touched her hand, the healing was instantaneous and it was complete. It was over. Jesus has the authority over sickness, and his touch symbolizes the transformative power of his presence in our lives. It was immediate. In other words, I mean, if you had a thermometer, you know, in the mouth of Peter's mother-in-law, and it was showing 105, and Jesus touched her and said, yeah, and healed her, you could almost probably watch the thermometer begin to go down. I was getting ready to say mercury. Watch the mercury fall in the thermometer, and that's kind of showing my age, but you could watch the little digital numbers in this day and age begin to count down, because it was immediately. You see, you know, we need to seek Jesus' touch in our own lives for healing. Now notice, you know, when I'm talking about healing, in this particular case, we are talking about a physical healing. But Jesus has authority over not just physical healing, but he also has authority over emotional healing. He has authority over spiritual healing. Anything in our lives, Jesus has power and authority over. Are we going to trust in his authority over every ailment we may have? You see, not everybody is suffering from a spiritual or a physical ailment. Sometimes people are suffering from spiritual ailments. Sometimes people are suffering from emotional situations in their lives. Well, let me make you this promise. If you fall into one of those categories, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, Jesus has purview and authority over each and every one of those areas of your life. You can trust in his authority over every one of those ailments. You can carry them to him, and you can trust him to be able to bring healing in those situations, okay? Another thing I want us to see out of these short two verses that we're dealing with today is that what happened after, you know, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Well, the third point is that you and I should be serving in response to healing. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 8, the latter part of verse 15 says, "And she arose and served them." So you kind of put all that together. You know, maybe she was laying down. I have a feeling she probably was because she was sick. You know, Jesus walks in, sees her over there, reaches over, touches her, and then all of a sudden she feels 100% better instantaneously, and she gets up and she begins to go and serve to serve them. Yep, maybe made them a meal, whatever the situation may be. You see, folks, for you and I, as the same way that we see in this passage, healing should lead to service. You know, we should serve our Lord. You know, when we look at Peter's mother-in-law, her response to healing was to serve him and to serve him without delay. She didn't sit back and say, "Well, you know what, my back's a little sore because I've been laying down for a day or two with this fever." No, she was healed perfectly, completely, instantaneously, and she got right up and she began to serve Jesus. So her response should be the same as our response. When the Lord does those things in our lives, it's not that we're trying to pay him back, because we could never do that, but because of us wanting to honor him, just because of us wanting to be able to be thankful and grateful for the many wonderful and miraculous things that he's done in our lives, we should seek to serve him on a daily basis, okay? And Peter's mother-in-law did that without delay, okay? Her service was a form of expressing gratitude. You know what? We can't pay the Lord back for all the wonderful things that he does in our lives. And here's the great part. He does not expect us to do that. Yeah, he doesn't sit back and say, "Well, you know, we do things on the merit system, and right now you don't have many merits." That's not what he does. He knows we can't repay him. But what expressions of gratitude do we offer to our master when he's done the incredible things in our own personal lives that he's done and that we can see? Okay? You know what? We need to participate in Jesus' mission. You know, Peter's mother-in-law, her service aligned her, you know, with Jesus' mission by supporting him in what he was doing. You know, in other words, you know, she was one of those, I call them behind-the-scenes people. You know, Jesus, even though he was 100% deity when he walked on this earth, he still had all of the same temptations and dealt with the same things that you and I did, because through his incarnation in his human body, Jesus got hungry. Jesus got sleepy. You know, Jesus, you know, got worn down. Even though he was perfect and didn't mess up, he still felt all the things that you and I feel. And yet, here's Peter's mother-in-law, you know, saying, "Hey, listen, I appreciate what he did for me. I can help by serving him. And my service will align with helping Jesus to fulfill his mission as I support him with what I have to be able to support him with." You know, like I said, maybe that's a meal. Sometimes people sit back and say, "Well, I don't have a whole lot that I can use for my Lord and Savior." But I will make you this promise. We're reading about Peter's mother-in-law in the Bible because she got up and served him one day when she was sick and Jesus healed her. Now, that didn't mean that she went out and preached to multitudes of crowds. That doesn't mean that she started a children's ministry or anything else. She did what she could do in that moment and in that time with what God had given her the talent and ability to do. It doesn't say that she cooked him a meal, but probably she did. You know, it doesn't say, yeah, whatever it was, she was hospitable to him, and that was helping Jesus to fulfill his mission as he went about this earth. You see, healing not only restores, but it empowers individuals to serve and to participate in God's work. You know, has he touched you? Has he healed you? Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, what has the Lord done in your life? What are you doing to serve him in the aftermath of those things? Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're serving him to try to pay him back, but we would be serving him because of a heart of gratitude for what he's done for us, okay? Yeah, we need to recognize our abilities to serve as a response to the healing that the Lord brings about in our lives and the blessings that we receive. You know, we need to engage actively in acts of service as an expression of our gratitude toward Him. How many times do we do things and try to serve even those here on this earth because they've done something really good for us? I've heard this so many times, and somebody will say, well, why are you doing that for so-and-so? Well, you know what? He's been really good to me, and I appreciate him. You know, I want to do what I can to be of service to maybe the elderly neighbor. You know, maybe it's somebody that you grew up with and, you know, now they can't go and do the things that they used to do. And in return, you're doing simple little things like mowing the grass or taking a meal over. And people would say, well, why would you want to do something like that? And you simply sit back and say, because that person means something to me. You know, they've been something in my life. And the compassion is what drives you to action along the way. Okay? So now in the story of Peter's mother-in-law, we witness several things. We witness compassion, we witness power, and we witness the purpose that defines Jesus' ministry. See, Jesus' healing is transformative, not just physical, but in inspiring an active response of service from us to Him. Now, as recipients of God's grace and as recipients of God's healing, let us be observant of others' needs, and let us trust in Jesus' transformative power. And may we respond by serving His kingdom with love and with gratitude. You know, the biggest thing that I could say to you as far as going through this week would be simply this. If I were to say, here's your challenge, this is what it would be. To seek opportunities to serve in your communities, whether it's your home community, whether it's your community of work, maybe your community of school, whether it's your body of believers at church, whatever it is, but seek opportunities to serve in your communities, and I say that as plural, reflecting the love and the compassion of Christ. But here is the biggest thing I want you to do. I want you to look around and be observant of the things, the needs in people's hearts and lives that you, and then when you see it, make it something that you don't have to be asked to do. Make it something that somebody doesn't have to point out to you. But when you see a need, become proactive and meet that need. To be able to be compassionate to those who have that need, and then also taking that opportunity to serve the Lord and be His hands and His feet in the heart and in the life of those people that you'll run into this week. Can you do that? That's what I'm going to be praying for you for here in just a moment. Let me go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week. Once again, we're continuing our look at the miracles of the Messiah. I say it that way because it's got the two M's in it, and it kind of rhymes a little bit. The miracles of the Messiah. Well, next week, or actually your Bible reading for this week, I want you to spend some time in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Now, some of you say, well, I've been there before. Well, spend a little time in there once again. Next week, we're going to look at the miracle of the cleansing of the leper, which comes out of Mark, chapter 1. And we're going to be dealing with verses 4 through 45. You know, we'll probably break them down for you a little bit. But verses 4 through 45 that gives us the miracle of the Messiah, of the cleansing of the leper, and that will be the sixth in our sermon series of the miracles of the Messiah. I hope, pray you'll be studied up and that you'll join us. Let me pray with you as we close our time together today. Father, as we come to you now, we're again grateful and thankful for the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through this week, that we will truly, truly take the opportunity to seek out opportunities to be able to not only serve you, but to serve others within our communities, Lord. I pray that you will help us to be not only receptacles of your love, but reflectors of your love, that as we meet those needs, those around us will see that it's not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And Lord, I pray that we will have compassion like Christ had when he walked this earth, that when we see those needs, or when we pay attention to what the Spirit is telling us along the way, that the need will arise, we will see it, we will be compassionate, and that, Lord, we will be proactive to meet that need, and that we will do so not because of who we are, but because of who you are. May all these things be done in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to extend to you a personal invitation for you to come by and join us for worship service. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you are familiar with the area, we're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. We do have other discipleship opportunities throughout the week. We have Sunday school classes. We have some men and women's small groups that meet. We do have Awana for our children during the school year. They do take the summer off, but during the school year, we have those particular discipleship opportunities. We would love to have you come and worship with us as we worship our Savior in spirit and in truth. I hope and pray I get to see you this Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.